I read a sermon about a month or two ago, and the guy who was really, it was early 1900s, it's a really old sermon, but it was back in Second World War time, around about that time, four tape recorders, that's why I read the sermon. He made the statement, a page and a half, of this phrase that there are tears in things, and it really stuck with me, it struck a chord with me. There are tears in things, and that's where the title of this message came from. That there are tears in things. Life is hard. Life is difficult. Yeah, we read to the gospel, any one of the gospels, pick one. All the gospels are full of hardship, and difficulties. There are tears in things. Yeah, we read through there as well. There are four women that cry. There are four weeping women. Widow at Nain, which is where I'll be taking my text from today, the woman who was weeping and dried the Lord's feet with the tears with the alabaster box. There was Mary at the tomb of Lazarus, and then Mary Magdalene outside the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. Four weeping women, all weeping with sorrow. If you're taking my text from the first one, there's much more than that. There's a lot of tears in Scripture. A lot of tears. A lot of people are crying. Yeah, and it's real. We live in a world that hurts. World of hurt. So just maybe read just a text quickly here this evening. If I say this morning, you'll forgive me. I keep wanting to say this morning, but I know it's this evening. You'll just forgive me. Luke chapter 7, and we'll be just starting from verse 11. There's just two passages I'd like to read. Just this passage, and at the end I'll read another passage. verse 11, chapter 7 of Luke. And it came to pass the day after, he went into the city called Nain. Many of the disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier. And they that stood by him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto you, and to thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear upon all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up amongst us, and that God hath visited his people. And the rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him all of these things. We'll just read that far. In this section, we have a woman, just a normal woman. She was burying the one that she loves, the object of her affection, the one that meant the world to her. She was burying her, says her only son. You know, the person that she loved the most, the only person that she loved the most in this world was in a box. And she was walking this funeral procession on the way to go and bury her son. It says she was a widow. So this is not the first time. This was not the first time that she had walked this road. She knew the heartbreak. She knew the turmoil. She knew the crying and the tears that would surround the next month or two. As she's lost her son. She'd lost her father, and no doubt the son, I don't know, my son, my wife says, my son looks like me. And she having lost her husband, no doubt her son would be the thing that reminded her of that person that she chose out of everybody in the world. It was a wonderful thing. I was thinking about it this afternoon. It's a great thing. I chose my wife out of everybody in the whole world. I chose my wife. The marvelous thing is that she chose me. And it's this bond. And I know that if one of us goes, I'd see my wife every day and my daughter. And my wife, if I went, I'd see myself, me and my son every day. And now she's burying her son, her only son, that reminder of the one that she loved, and the one that she loved, the product of their love. She's going down this funeral procession. She's burying the object of her affection, the only one that is truly hers. And it says she is surrounded by people, isn't she? Yeah? The whole village goes with her. The whole village is around. Now, I've buried parents, yeah? And one of the things that really struck me is how lonely you are, yeah? When you walk that funeral procession, it's hard. Yeah? You're surrounded by a lot of people. There are people everywhere. Everybody's holding you and hugging you and patting you on the back, but you are so alone. Yeah? You're walking that funeral, and this woman is walking that funeral procession. The second one she's been on, of those dear people that she's lost. Surrounded by people, but no comfort. She's all alone. I think that rings true to each one of us, doesn't it? As we face hardship in the world, it's not just a funeral procession, is it? When we face hardship and when we face difficulty in the world. Yeah, I remember when my father and my mom passed away. I remember looking out and you see in the mornings people still going to work. And you wonder, how can it be that life is carrying on as normal? All these people are driving past. They're going to work. Can't they feel the pain in me? How can this be? Like I'm alone. It hurts. And while people are around, it kind of takes your mind off it. But when those people leave, there's a hole in you. And it hurts. You can be going through trials today, can't you? And you're all alone. You feel like you're empty. How can the world carry on oblivious to your pain? And it says she's surrounded by these people, but all alone. And as we look to these things, and as we look to the despair of this funeral procession, we can all say, man, there are tears in things. Life is hard. It's difficult. It leaves a mark. There are tears in things. The wonderful thing is that the story is not just about a funeral procession, isn't it? That's not the topic of the story, is it? That's not the topic of what Luke's writing here, is it? Yeah? Out of eternity steps one man, doesn't he? There's a lone figure, yeah? That as we read through Luke, that Luke is a gospel of suffering. It presents Jesus Christ as a man, but not just a man, a suffering man. Yeah? Jesus Christ is a man who suffers, but he steps out of eternity, doesn't he? The Word of God would describe him as the one who is before all things, the one who by him all things consist. You know, he claims the name of Alpha and Omega, not the Alpha and Omega, but Alpha and Omega, not there in front of it, Alpha and Omega. The very description of reality. You can't have a conversation without him. Alpha and Omega, he encompasses everything. He is all, yeah? And he steps out of eternity from the very courtrooms of heaven. He steps from there into a manger. And from that manger onto this dusty road. And he's walking up this dusty road in Nain, a backwater town in a desert country for all the world. There's nothing there. There's nothing but sorrow. There's nothing but hardship. And he walks up this dusty road. And he walks over to this woman. One woman. Out of all of that crowd, he walks over to that one woman, and she's weeping. And the wonderful thing of the story is that one who claims all those titles says he has compassion on her. What a wonderful thing that is. If we could just understand that just for a moment. Here's another thing. I've said it a couple of times over the last couple of weeks. But I read another commentary, another thing, also from the early 1900s. And it's changed the way that I view the Lord. Yeah? It's just changed the way that I even think about God. Yeah? He had compassion on her. You know, all those gods that men have conceived in their minds. I know I've said this before. I'll say it again because it really struck with me. Of all the gods that men have conceived, men in their imaginations conceive, and they imagine gods with all their imaginings for the last 6,000 years, however long human history was, whatever you take it at, imagine these gods, and they chop down trees and they carve figures into them. They cast molds of molten calves. They create these gods in their heads. Not one of them is a god that actually loves us. There's not one. Not one God that they can, it would never enter into the imaginings of man, that God would love us. I find that fascinating, isn't it? We have the gods of love, but it's not the love we're talking about. It's this erotic love. It's not real love. A God of compassion. There's no gods like that. They're not there. There's gods of reproduction and all of that, and fertility, all of those type of things. But there's no true God that actually really loves us. We all understand the anger of God. You go to any tribe, any nation, and you find those guys, they all understand that God is angry. Instinctively we know when we look at nature, and we look at the hurt, and we look at the brokenness, we know instinctively that God is angry. We understand that. God has every reason to be angry. There's no reason that God would be love. Why would God love us? That's what makes this passage just so arresting, isn't it? That out of eternity steps this one who has compassion on this woman. Because God is love. We understand his vengeance. We understand that he is angry. But the fact that God is love, it's amazing. And this woman stands before the Son of God, the very Son of God, God in the flesh. And he has compassion on him. And that voice that, I always think that voice that stilled the seas, yeah? That voice that had that authority over nature, that said, be still, and the waves were still. That voice that said, let there be light, and there was light. That voice says to this woman, weep not. What a thing to say. What a thing to say. I wonder how many people had said that to her that day. Now, I remember when my mom passed away, she was broken. When my father passed away, she was broken. She was crying. And I remember putting my arms around her, and I couldn't bring myself to say, how could I say weep not? How can there be words that you could say to somebody at the funeral of their son? How can you say that? I put my arms around her, let it out. Let it out. Yeah, cry. If ever there was a time to weep, it was then. And here comes this guy who says, weep not. How can you be that? Don't you know that there are tears in things? Can't you see she's hurting? Don't you understand? Oh, if anybody understood, eh? There are tears in things. Life hurts. Leaves a mark, doesn't it? Leaves a mark. And he says, weep not. And the finality of death. But it's not just death. The heaviness of life. Living costs you something, doesn't it? I know I've been around for half a century, nearly, if it's reminding me at home. Nearly half a century. That's how it's been worded. 49 years, a couple of weeks. 49 years old. One thing I know, life is heavy. There are tears in things. Life costs you something. It costs you something, yeah? I was young. A lot of my friends had... I've buried friends, and I've buried my grandmother and my parents eventually, yeah? And I know that there are tears in things, and we're sitting in this room, and even if you're listening on the internet, and we look to our lives, we know that it takes a toll on us. It takes a toll, yeah? Some scars, they say time heals all wounds, don't they? Don't they say that? They say time heals all wounds. It doesn't, yeah? Time makes you forget a little bit and numbs it a bit, but it doesn't heal. There are things that you remember in your life, those hardships and those difficulties that you remember in your life, that you just take and you put them on the side because you can't bear to think about them for too long. Because they hurt. There are tears in things. Cost you something. So you take them and you put them over there and you try not, to think about that too long. Yeah? You know it's there and you can forget about it for a while and you get on with your life. But it's always there. Time doesn't heal all wounds. Time accumulates more wounds, doesn't it? The longer you're around, the more it hurts. The more stuff that you have in boxes that you don't want to look at. Yeah? Young people. It's great to be young, isn't it? Yeah? Grab every legitimate happiness that there is. Every joy that is truly yours. Every legitimate happiness. The Lord has given it to you. Enjoy your young life. But make no mistake. There are tears in things. There will come a time in your life when you will face difficulties, when you will face hardships, and your whole world will melt into tears. Because life is hard. There are tears in things. Everything is difficult. Now, there are people now even getting news. Can you imagine thinking about just the scope and the size of the world? There are people getting news right now that will forever change their lives. Forever change the lives of their loved ones. You may be sitting there dealing with a problem of a loved one receiving news that's never going to be this. Things are never going to be the same. Those markers in your life where things change forever. People are receiving news of terminal cancer, incurable diseases. paralysis, car accidents, somewhere out there, there's an undertaker digging a hole. Somewhere out there that's happening. There are some hurts that are so deep it's unspeakable. To speak about them would make them less than what they are. Some hurts are so deep that to speak about them would take away from how you feel, would make it less, would make your feelings less. And Des always reminds us that there are people who don't mention things that they need prayer for. Because those things are real. We face difficulties in our lives. We face hardships. There are tears in things, real tears in things. Costs us something. Yeah? So we put them aside. Yeah? We contemplate the human condition, don't we? We think about this whole situation of being human, and we sometimes wonder, man, if only I could change it. If only I could take it and not have to deal with this hurt. If I could not deal with all of this suffering. If only there was a place. Yeah, we actively spend our lives avoiding. We make decisions, whether consciously or unconsciously. We make decisions to avoid pain and suffering, don't we? We make decisions based on how painful it's going to be if I don't do it, or if I do it. We try to avoid pain and suffering. Yeah? I'll tell you something, it's everywhere. There's no escaping it. This world is broken. We are broken. There's something wrong. And if it were possible, wouldn't it be better if we could just avoid this whole thing? There could just be a place where we could get away from all of this pain and suffering. Yeah? Away from all of life's fears, away from all of life's problems. Yeah? Somewhere where nobody dies. Somewhere where all our loved ones and all the hardships are, the loved ones stay and the hardships just go away. We'd choose that, wouldn't we? We would all choose that. And I know what you're thinking, you're a preacher man. Yeah, you're talking about heaven, aren't you? You're talking about heaven. Yeah, I'm talking about heaven, but that's not the way I want to go with this. Yeah, I'm talking about heaven. And yes, I do believe that if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a place for us where all the tears will be wiped away and Jesus Christ himself will make all of these things right. That's not really where I'm going with this, am I? Yeah? I do want to start in heaven. That's where I want to start. But I was saying earlier that out of the eternal past, the corridors of eternity past, steps one man. He came from a place where there was no hurt. He came from a place where there was no pain and suffering. He came from heaven's glory. And he stepped into the scene of time, didn't he? He stepped into the songwriter, the hymn writer would say, this veil of tears. He had no duty to do that. There was no need for him to suffer. We spend our entire lives trying to avoid pain and suffering, don't we? And what did he do? He did the exact opposite, didn't he? He stepped out of eternity. He stepped out of heaven from that place of comfort. And he stepped into this place of suffering, knowing full well what would be done to him. My dear friend, that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that the Son of God stood in heaven, looked down upon us, and had compassion on us. It's marvelous, isn't it? Just to think about that for a second. That there is somebody out there, who has compassion on us. You know you're in a funeral procession, my friend. You know that. Yeah? You know that you're walking in a funeral procession. Your life begins in the cradle and it ends in the grave. Yeah? This widow at Nain is nothing different. Nothing different to what you're actually enduring in your life. You're walking a funeral procession. You're surrounded by people, but you, my friend, are all alone. There's no comfort. You won't find comfort in this world. You won't find comfort in your friends. You won't find comfort in drugs, alcohol, sex, all of those things. There is no comfort in that. Surrounded by people. But out of eternity steps the Son of God, King of glory, full of compassion, full of love for you. And he says, weep not. Weep not. You turn to him and say, oh, I have every reason to weep. Look at what the world has done to me. Look at what life has done to me. It's broken me. It's taken so much from me. And he extends his hands. Male pierced hands. You say there are tears in things. He says, I know. I know there are tears in things. I too have cried. It's there in John's Gospel. Clear as day. Yeah? Jesus wept. He knows what it's like to stand over people and weep. To stand outside a grave of a friend and weep. Dear friend, he didn't weep for himself. He wept for our condition. What a wonderful thing that is. That the Son of God stood out of outside a tomb and wept with a friend. What a marvelous thing that is, yeah? Do you not know there are tears in things? Yes, I know, I too have wept. Yeah? The Son of God has wept. My friend, life is hard. Life is difficult. But the Son of God chose that. We know the world is broken. We instinctively know that God is angry. And hanging on that cross, Jesus Christ was mocked by two thieves, wasn't he? One on the left, one on the right. Yeah? And one of them said, we indeed justly for we deserve what we get. We deserve, we've been judged correctly. We're suffering for what we deserve. But that one on the middle cross was not suffering for what he deserved. The tears that he shed were not for himself. They were for us. He endured our sorrow. Isaiah 53 says that he was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And his visage was more than the sons of men. If anybody was acquainted with sorrow, can you conceive this, sir? If anybody was acquainted with sorrow, it was the Son of God. Can you understand that for a second? The Son of God acquainted with sorrow. If anybody should not be acquainted with sorrow, if anybody should not endure hardship, if anybody should not suffer, it should be the Son of God, the Holy One of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He ought not to suffer. And as we read Luke's Gospel, final conversation that the Lord Jesus has these words, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer. What words? It behoved Christ to suffer. Ought Christ not to have suffered? How could Christ not suffer? And our minds are just boggled by it, isn't it? Yeah? How is it possible that Christ ought to suffer? In the previous section there, it says, just a couple of verses before that, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? It was exactly God's plan. Jesus Christ came out of eternity knowing full well that he was going to suffer. And he was going to die. This world is broken, you know that. Instinctively, we know. Instinctively, we know that God is angry. You look to all those ancient tribes, all of them. They all know that God is angry. God is upset. God needs to be appeased. We have wronged God. Every single one of us is a sinner before God. We are under God's judgment. The Bible says, the soul that sins, it shall die. Every single one of us. You know, we're in that funeral procession and we're marching along, cradle to the grave. Not one of us will escape. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Dear friend, judgment is coming. And it starts with death. That's the first step. You've been judged and you've been found guilty, and you'll pass from the scene of time and you will stand before God. There is one that didn't. There was one that went to the cross of Calvary to offer you a way out. He ought not to have suffered. The Holy One of God. He died for you. Now, I've been saying this the whole time, that there are tears in things. I've meditated upon this for a long while. There are tears in things. But dear friend, let me tell you something now. And I've experienced it, and so many people in this room have experienced it, that there is joy in things too, though. Unmatched joy. Unparalleled joy. Yeah? There is joy in things. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity. I'm not preaching that if you give your life to the Lord, all your sorrows will go. What I am preaching to you, yeah, is saying that all those people, they got dressed in the morning, didn't they? When that funeral pyre started, when they picked up that coffin, every single one of them knew exactly where that coffin was going. They all knew what they were going to do. Put on their pants. Put on their shirts. Picked up that body. Wrapped it up. Put it in a coffin. And off they marched. They all knew where that body was going. Not one of them saw that man approaching. And that man approached out of nowhere the Lord Jesus Christ. And of all those funerals that they'd been on, of all those funerals that they'd experienced, they thought they knew what was going to happen. They had no idea what was going to happen next. Yeah? Like I was saying, out of eternity steps this one who could change the course of that funeral prior, that funeral procession. One man, unlike any other. You've never met a guy like him. I promise you. You've never met a man like the Lord Jesus Christ to change your life. Change mine. Now I was in a funeral procession. I know one day if I'm not raptured, I'm going to pass from the scene of time. But I have absolute confidence. Yeah? That that's not going to be the end. I have absolute confidence in that man of Calvary, that Lord Jesus Christ, that when I die and I pass from the scene of time, I'm going to spend eternity with him. I have no fear of death. What a thing to say. Can you imagine that young man, once he's been raised from the dead, the next time he died, what was he thinking? Oh, I know a guy. I know a man who can turn this around. Do you think he was afraid to die the second time, having experienced what Jesus Christ did the first time? I was dead, but now I'm alive. Men have said for centuries, since the beginning of everything. I was dead and now I'm alive. I've experienced that. People in this room have experienced it. Marching on that funeral procession, knowing full well where I was going. And Jesus Christ turned it around. What a Savior. And that's what Jesus Christ is offering you today. I pray that you would take a second. Consider eternity. Consider where your life is going. Each one of you will face death. Each one of you will sit in a chair and you will receive news that will change your life. Forever. To whom will you turn? To whom who will carry you? Who will hold you? Who will see you through? There's a Savior in heaven who died for you. A Savior in heaven who is full of compassion. And a God that loves you and has done something to save you. I pray that today or tonight when you hear this message, I pray that it would be a turning point in your life. That you would give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe just close in prayer with that. Dear Lord, we just do thank you for your Son. We thank you that, Lord, that there is one who has compassion on us, Lord, that there is one who saw the condition of our souls, that has seen the human condition, Lord, and has done something about it. There is one that loved us and loved us unto death, Lord. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is now no more need to fear death, and that Jesus Christ has died for us, Lord, that we would have an eternal redemption, Lord, and to save us from a lost eternity, Lord. We pray that if there is anybody who hears this message, who is listening even today to this message, Lord, that today would be a day of change, a day of decision in their life, Lord, and that they would choose to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. This life is difficult. Nobody gets out alive. Lord, I just do pray, Lord, that you would get a hold of hearts, Lord, that you would use your gospel, your Spirit would move, and that men and women would get saved and repent and get saved. Lord, I just do pray these things. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.